Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. In just a few minutes, we'll explore the potential for fighting cancer that's been found in a plant normally known for causing it, tobacco. But first, occupational therapists help people, from children to the elderly, to those recovering from an injury or living with a disability. Northeast Louisiana will soon have a new supply of occupational therapists thanks to a new program being developed at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. After closing its four-year program in 2006, ULM is now developing an online program that will allow occupational therapy assistants, normally with a two-year degree, achieve a master's level degree in just over 2 years. Director of the Occupational Therapy Program, Dr. Patty Calk, joins me now to talk about it. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Hi, thank you.
First of all, for the layperson, occupational therapy assistant, talk about what an assistant does versus what a full-fledged occupational therapist does.
Okay. There are two levels of occupational therapy practitioners or clinicians, and that is the occupational therapy assistant and the registered occupational therapist. An occupational therapy assistant has an associate degree, and they typically have their own caseload. They work under the supervision of an OTR, which is the registered OT. They carry out treatment plans and contribute to the evaluation and treatment of the client.
ULM had an occupational therapy program until 2006. Kind of bring us up to date on what's happened in the interim and why this matters so much.
Okay. In 2006, our accrediting agency required that all programs go from a bachelor's to a master's degree. And that also was during the time of the budget cutbacks in Louisiana because of Katrina and Gustav. And because of that, our program was closed. We just didn't have the financial stability to maintain it in the university. However, we did keep the occupational therapy assistant program because there's such a need for occupational therapy in the state of Louisiana and this region. And ULM is the main provider of services of occupational therapists to Louisiana. We graduate more students than any other university in Louisiana. We also were the first OT and first OTA program.
In the state?
In the state.
Okay.
So we kept our OTA program and have been putting out qualified therapists for the past, since 1971.
So before the university decided to look at this, being able to offer the master's again, what sort of research did you do getting ready for to see whether or not that was even a good option?
I sent out a survey to all the OTAs in the area, or the OTAs that graduated from our program, and within 2 days I had over 100 responses, and within a week I had 169 responses from OTAs that want to go back and get their master's in OT.
So it was obvious that there was a demand.
Huge demand. And currently OTAs in the state that want to get their master's are going out to other states. The majority are going to Belmont in Tennessee, with some going to TWU in Texas. So we'd like to keep them here in our state.
And so are there other online programs that are similar to what's being proposed?
There are 18 online programs in the country. The two closest ones are the one in Belmont, Tennessee, and the one at TWU in Denton, Texas.
Explain the concept of a bridge program, that this is bridging from someone who has an associate's degree really to achieving a master's level degree.
ACOD, our accrediting agency, has paved the way for people who already have an associate degree to be able to get their master's through an online process, and it's called a bridge program. Because they're out there practicing, they have the hands-on knowledge, the clinical practice, and don't have to come in for hands-on education. So they're able to get the theory, the research, the evidence-based part of it, the neurology, through an online process, and then come in for just brief times for hands-on practice. And the way we'd like to do that is on a weekend, 1 weekend a month.
And in preparing for asking for the permission to start developing this, two faculty members, you and Dr. Murphy, also did some additional work.
Right. Both Carolyn Murphy and I looked to see a way to get our terminal degrees, and we found an online program that is an occupational therapy doctorate, and we did that so that we would be able to offer a master's online program. Our accrediting agency requires that the Fair Work Coordinator and the Program Director and the majority of faculty have their doctorate.
So what does this mean for the greater picture of Northeast Louisiana and looking for the need for occupational therapists in Louisiana?
Since the closure of our program, there is a huge shortage in Louisiana for occupational therapists. Hospitals and facilities are having to bring people in from out of state and having a really difficult time finding OTs to not only work but to supervise OTAs. So this is going to be a huge workforce demand meet by providing these occupational therapists to the region and having people that are already practicing in the site and know what to do they'll be able to transition within their work settings.
So will the OTA program continue even as if the master's program successfully gets offered at ULM?
We currently don't know the status of the OTA program. We will continue to take students in the OTA program until we get a master's degree. Further that, we don't know. With the enacting of the Louisiana Grad Act, the push is for all associate degree programs to go to a community college. Because this is an accredited program, it can't just be moved to another college. The college would have to start a whole new program and go through an accreditation process if they wanted to start an assistant program.
Talk about the timeline. What's happened so far is that the UL System Board of Supervisors has approved a letter of intent from the university to begin developing it. What happens from here?
The next step in the process is our proposal goes before the Louisiana Board of Regents. And at that point, we're expecting approval. And at that point, we will have a consultant that will work with us and the Board of Regents to develop our program and get it going. At that point, we also will be submitting a letter of intent and proposal to our accrediting agency to begin our program.
So is there a chance that those two could end up happening simultaneously?
Yes, they will coincide.
Mm-hmm. When the program is running, and some estimates I've heard maybe as soon as 2013.
Correct.
When this program is running, what will it mean for access, not quality of care, but access to occupational therapy here in the region?
Currently in the region, because of the shortage of occupational therapists, there are lots of people not getting occupational therapy services. One area is early intervention. If there are no occupational therapists, then the occupational therapy assistants can't provide services. So by graduating more OTs, then the occupational therapy assistants can provide services in early intervention in other areas, and more people will be getting access to care.
Dr. Patty Koch is the new head of occupational therapy here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Dr. Koch, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks to all sorts of public awareness campaigns, most everyone knows that tobacco is bad for you. Now, though, a group of researchers at ULM is focusing on the discovery that tobacco plants may actually help fight cancer. Dr. Khalid El-Sayed and his colleagues at ULM have been awarded a patent for their discovery of anti-cancer compounds in the waxy coating found on fresh tobacco leaves. Dr. El-Sayed joins me now, along with Associate Provost for Academic Affairs, Dr. Eric Panny, to look at what the patent means for the university. Gentlemen, welcome to the ULM Forum.
Hi, Jay.
Hi.
First of all, Dr. Panny, before we go into a little bit about this patent, what's the importance of having ongoing research specifically in a university setting?
Well, traditionally, research has been an important part of what universities do because we are one of the creators of knowledge, and that's what research does. It creates new knowledge. It takes existing knowledge and builds on that to what we hope for is to benefit society.
And what does that mean for a university to be able to be working at the level of creating patents?
Oh, it means a tremendous amount because what it does is it protects the inventor. And the inventor is both the scientist and the university. So what it does is it protects that intellectual property. It allows them to be guaranteed that nobody's going to be out there using the work that they've toiled over to their benefit. We're then licensed for that product. And what we hope to eventually happen with these products is they'll become of interest to pharmaceutical companies, who will then pick it up, look at development of it, will go into clinical trials, then eventually it will get approved for use after FDA review.
Dr. Khalid El-Sayed, tell us the story about how you started looking at a product that we've been educated on as being harmful, tobacco, but began looking at the tobacco plant as possibly having some solutions to cancer.
Yeah, actually, the idea of this patent emerged at the bottom of the sea where we collect some soft corals. And looking at these soft corals sitting at the bottom of the sea at a harsh environment and not even a single fish predators dare to come and eat these soft-bodied corals. And by the middle of the late 70s and early 80s, the Japanese were able to discover actually the cancer chemopreventive activity of a compound from these soft corals. And they were actually testing it in clinical trials for this activity. In fact, this class of compounds is called simbrinoids, or first discovered in Tobago in 1962. And we were able to correlate between cyprinoids from marine origin and Tobago origin, and were interested to test whether these Tobago cyprinoids will show some activity in cancer and cancer invasion and migration inhibition. So we were able to make a good team here, and three laboratories were involved, Dr. Sylvester, Dr. Shah, and my lab were all involved in this project. They were testing the activity of these Tobago cyprinoids after purification from fresh tobacco. In fact, I found it not odd to have some beneficial compounds from tobacco, because other people were able also to patent tobacco for other important activities, including neuroprotective activity and anti-Parkinson's and anti-Alzheimer's.
So other research going on
exactly,
using tobacco.
Exactly. There is a university in a group in University of Puerto Rico. They were able to have two or three patents on this activity. So we were not odd. So we acknowledge tobacco smoke is very harmful. It contains several carcinogenic compounds, but it also contains some useful compounds, and especially the fresh tobacco. Tobacco for smoking is processed, and during this processing, they degrade these important ingredients or beneficial ingredients into small molecules, and therefore it is different from commercially available tobacco.
So what were you able to find in the waxy substance found in the fresh tobacco?
It is amazing to see tobacco is able to produce these compounds to protect itself also against insects and infectious diseases. We were testing these compounds for antimicrobial activity, and they were showing amazing antimicrobial activity against both microbacterial and fungal infections. So it is amazing to see the plant using this kind of self-defense mechanism or chemical defense mechanism, biosynthesis of this important compound at the top surface of the cuticular wax of the leaf and the flowers.
How did you move from that into cancer research?
As I said, we made the correlation because the chemical structure or correlation between the marine cyprinoids and tobacco cyprinoids was very clear. The only way to do that is to test the activity of these compounds, and we were successful in finding this activity. And then we developed, in fact, this activity. We were able to culture marine bacteria and use these marine bacteria to modify these tobacco cyprinoids into novel compounds, which were actually much more active than the parent compound and less toxic.
So why is it important to keep looking for new ways to fight cancer in the natural world?
It is very important to find new leads because many cancer types are still untreatable. And also resistance emerge every day, and cancer cells are able to modify themselves and invent a mechanism to resist current drugs. So it is very important to invent new drugs every day, not only to treat the untreatable cancer types, but also to guard against the emergence of untreatable, highly resistant cancer types.
Dr. Panny, what does the award of a patent like this mean for the university long term?
Obviously, its immediate effect is a recognition of the research that takes place at the university is valuable. And in the long term, it has the potential then to create revenue for the university, which then becomes a bootstrap process. You invest some in research. Patents are earned from new research, from the products of new research. The royalties from those are reinvested into the research process so that additional research can occur and new drugs found and new research occurring.
Dr. Khalid El-Sayed is an associate professor of basic pharmaceutical sciences. Together with Dr. Paul Sylvester and Dr. Girish Saw, have been awarded a patent for the discovery of anti-cancer prototype compounds in tobacco leaves. And Dr. Eric Panny is the associate provost for academic affairs here at ULM. Gentlemen, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
You can listen, download, podcast, or share the ULM Forum online at kedm.org in the listening room. Comments or questions about the show could be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209.